Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another exciting episode of Meet the Expert. Today, probably a subject that you know very little about, very interesting. It's about selling your life insurance policy or what a life settlement is all about, something we've never talked about on these shows before. If you need to reach me, I'm at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. 925-314-8503, or the website is www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. So let me welcome our guests here today. Very exciting, Eric Carpenter of Abacus Life. Welcome, Eric.
Well, thanks a lot. Happy to be here. Actually, really excited.
Thank you. He's the regional director here. And why don't we describe what a life settlement is, and then also what buying a policy even means in English, and why would somebody sell their policy and what kind of policies get sold? So let's start with what a life settlement is. Let's start with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks, Elliot, for letting me be on. I'm excited to be working with you. And you're right. Life settlements is a very either misunderstood or most likely not even understood at all. So I'm glad to be able to have an opportunity to educate and share. So, I mean, by definition, a life settlement it's a technical term for selling your life insurance policy to an institutional investor. And it's important that that word institutional is involved. And most people don't know that life insurance policy is their own property. Okay. It's their property. It's not the insurance company's property. And typically, especially for seniors, it might be their largest asset. And so a life settlement is really the process of selling your life insurance policy to an investor. And so Abacus Life, which is the company I'm with, we are the largest institutional investor or buyer of life insurance policies. So that's kind of what a life settlement, like a technical term for life settlement, is.
Okay. And so we're not talking about term policies now. We're talking about permanent policies, variable universal life, index life, whole life, those type of policies, correct?
You would be surprised. So when I got into this, so let me back up a little bit. I've been in the life insurance long-term care industry for over 20 years. And I love insurance. I think that life insurance and long-term care should be a part of everyone's planning. I know it's a part of prosperity. But like I said, life settlements are a whole nother, it's a concept that most people don't know about. But believe it or not, I just found this out a year and a half ago, that term insurance, we buy term policies all the time. And I can take you through all the reasons why someone might sell their life insurance policy, but on the what type of policies, we buy term insurance policies. Our most favorite is GUL, so guaranteed universal life, or secondary universal life, but we have bought variable policies. We don't normally buy whole life because whole life typically will have a larger surrender value. And so it wouldn't make sense, if we can't buy the policy for more than the surrender value, then of course it would make no sense for the seller. So absolutely we buy term policies, which, think about it, that's like a win-win-win, because term policies are like renting a death benefit. It's not an asset per se. There's no cap value. But we buy term policies, we'll convert the policy, then we take over the payments and we become the beneficiaries. And we buy them out. Obviously, it'll be less than what the death benefit is, but it's still a win-win. And I'll give you an example what would happen. So let's say you had two business owners and they're 65 years old and they have buy-sells on each other. And those typically are like 10-year, 20-year term. And so what happens is, let's say the business is sold and then they don't need the policies anymore. And most of the time, so they just let it lapse. Well, why not come to us? We'll price it out within, really, it takes us a day. All we need is an in-force illustration, and we can find out whether or not that policy's got a value out there on the secondary market.
That's pretty interesting. I know it's different for a lot of people. Let's talk about the individual person. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my 40s. I bought a life insurance policy. I have little kids. Now I'm in my 60s. I'm set financially. I don't really need the life insurance. It's nice. As my friend who sells life insurance said, couldn't everybody use another $500,000 upon death? But assuming they don't. And so I see these commercials on TV, sell you part of your entire policy. You've seen mm-hmm. them too. Mm-hmm. They advertise here all over Northern California. Mm-hmm. Who's selling a policy on the individual side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a, those are really good questions. And you mentioned commercials, et cetera. And I just want to put a little plug in for my company, Abacus Life. We just announced that we're going public. So we'll be the first life settlement company to be publicly held, which is a massive, exciting deal for us. And another reason, and you'll probably be seeing a lot more of us in the media as well. The question you asked, though, is, you know, why would someone consider a life settlement or selling a policy? This is not an exhaustive list, but this will give you an idea of why. Let's say the policy is just simply no longer needed or wanted, right? It served its purpose. You don't want it. Let's say cash is needed for retirement, or cash is needed for a long-term care need. And you need to pull money out, and it's, you know, it turns out that your policy is actually worth more than the cash surrender value. So that would be a reason. Premiums are no longer affordable. It happens. Financial assistance is needed to pay medical bills. A business is sold, like I mentioned, and there's a key person or a buy sell in place. Or if you're exiting from a split dollar arrangement, which is a little bit more of a complicated conversation, or if there's a merger acquisition or bankruptcy. One of the big ones right now is unwinding premium finance cases. You know, with interest rates going up, a lot of the premium finance cases that were sold where you're borrowing money to pay for the premiums, and it's a great concept. It's a great way to leverage money. But with the interest rates going up, some of those assumptions, they just might need to unwind it, and that would be another reason. And then, you know, there's other reasons that we could talk about, but those would be the reasons why, you know, someone, you'd mentioned who, like who's selling their policies as far as like an ideal client. So an ideal client, Elliot, is typically if you want to be 75 years old or older if you're healthy. If it's a healthy client and you're 75 plus years old, we would be able to potentially, you know, price out that policy and it might make sense. Now, if you're younger than that, that's fine, but there typically would need to be some type of a medical impairment. Okay. And then of course, if there's a critical or terminal situation, then of course it doesn't really matter how old you are. You could be 40 years old, but if your life expectancy is, you know, 2 or 3 years, and you know, that obviously that policy will price. And it, like I said, I mentioned, we're buying most types of policies. I didn't even mention this, but we also have even bought group term if it works and it's got a convertible option. So hopefully that's helpful, helps you answer those questions like that.
Okay. And let's talk about a little bit the unknown ingredient here about taxes. People don't know if I sell my policies, it's taxable. But let me start with, I'm keeping my policy. I bought it years ago when my kids were young. Now it's got $400,000 of cash in there. It's worth $1 million. And it's owned by me. And that time my kids are the beneficiary or whomever. But there's only one parent left and I'm the only parent here. Isn't that life insurance policy, as you describe property, now subject to probate because I own it personally?
So correct. Although, yes, it depends on, you know, if it's the death benefit, it will pass tax-free. But to your point, if there is no, you know, will/trust, it could be to probate.
If I know that if I own a policy and I die owning that policy, that is subject to probate if it's not part of my trust in California anyway. Mm-hmm. And then we also know that you never want the beneficiary, unless you've got a family dynamic issue, you never want the beneficiary to be your trust. You want it to be actual people. Again, for all types of settlement reasons that we can talk about separately. But when I'm selling my policy, I know that it's there could be gains here. So how does this work, mm-hmm, my tax situation?
No, you're right. So typically when we purchase a policy and we give the client cash, there could be a taxable income tax on the gain. But to be honest, typically, you know, in most cases, the cash value in the policy doesn't exceed the cost basis. So typically there's not, but of course that needs to be, you know, you need to talk to your tax advisor for that, but there could be some capital gains. Now, with that said, if it is a terminal situation, meaning if there's a 12 to 24 month life expectancy, typically that cash that client's getting when we buy it is tax-free if it's a terminal scenario.
Okay. So does anybody just with these permanent policies, the variable universal life, the index and universal and so forth, does anybody just say at the end of the day, the heck with this, I don't want to sell it, I'll just cash it in and I'll be done with it? Or does that just a bad business decision?
Listen, what's important is that your client knows that there might be another option. So I don't know if you know the stat, Elliot, but over $200 billion of life insurance contract every year, $200 billion every year is either surrendered or they're lapsed. It's a big, big number. And less than 2% of the population even knew that there might have been an option to sell it. So what we do in that scenario is, let's say you did have $400,000 of cash in the policy, and you're either wanting or needing the cash. What we'll do is we'll analyze the policy and we'll find out if the market value is worth more than the cash value, obviously, or the cash surrender value. If the cash surrender value is more, then of course you would surrender it and take the cash. I mean, ideally is you keep the policy in force because you bought life insurance for a reason. Obviously, the death benefit is going to be more than what you would get for a settlement. But like I said, there's so many different reasons to sell it. But ultimately, I do think it's worth your time as an advisor and as your client to find out if there is a fair market value out there. If it's more than the cash surrender value, then it's a no-brainer. And obviously, if it's term insurance, for sure a no-brainer. Don't let that thing lapse unless you get it priced to see if there's if it's an asset for you.
Okay, so let's talk for a moment. Thanks, Eric. And we're talking with Eric Carpenter from Abacus Life about life settlements, basically selling your life insurance policy. It's an unusual subject. Some people have seen commercials on TV. You can reach me at www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com, 925-314-8503. Then reach out to me anytime you'd like, Elliot@prosperityfinancialgroup.com. So let's talk about term insurance and selling term, because I didn't even know that you could do that.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier in the show that basically you need to be either have a terminal illness or you need to be 75 or above. Is that still true with a term policy?
Yeah, it's not going to matter what type of policy that you're dealing with. This thing comes down to cost of insurance and life expectancy. It's really, truly a math equation. So, and typically it won't price unless you're older than 75 or if you've got some kind of a medical impairment. And those would be the two possibilities that would make it potentially you can sell that policy for some value, but it doesn't matter if it's term or not.
So if I'm doing financial planning for people are thinking about, look, I'm in my 60s and maybe I should buy a 15-year term policy for myself. And now in the middle of their 70s, they're thinking, I really don't need it anymore. My kids are set. They're in their 40s and 50s. I'm in my 70s. Mm-hmm. Is that a good target market for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great target market. And like I said, business owners who are about that age or older is also a great opportunity.
Yeah, the nice part about what I'm saying on that, Eric, which is great, is and you're doing planning, there's a short-term need for a lot of times for life insurance, and the long-term is going to go away. And so people say, well, then I'm not going to buy it because it's a bad use of my money. Hmm. But if you have an alternative to say, wait, I have an asset here that I'm going to sell anyway in the next 5 to 10 years, no matter what, but I need it for the next 5 to 10 years. But price-wise, I want to do a term of 15 or 20. Now you create an alternative for these people that they didn't even know existed.
I agree. Yes, sir. Yep. And then also, like you could have people, clients that bought, 20 and 30-year term a long time ago that maybe now that their health is impaired and they can't get life insurance, and that term policy's come and due. I mean, that's why you should always be, clients should always be having their life insurance evaluated, right? And do an audit on those things. Because here's another thing. Life insurance, just in the last 5 years, has dramatically changed. The types of policies, the products, they've become, they have living benefits now. And so these are all reasons why you want to be having your policy reviewed to find out, one, is it the right amount? Do you need it anymore? All of that. And selling your policy is an unknown possibility.
Okay. And then when they see these commercials on TV, that we see with the older couple and grandchildren. I know they're actors because I've actually seen that gentleman in different commercials. for a moment, I feel like they're my grandparents, but then I realize this is a commercial. It's a very effective commercial, or I wouldn't think that, where they're sitting on a chair at the end and these, you know, kids that are running, grandchildren are running towards them with open arms and so forth, and they don't need their policies anymore. Is there a difference in companies of what people can get? Do they need to shop this with Abacus Life and not just the one on TV and accept the first quote?
Listen, first of all, that is a great question. And there's a difference between a life settlement provider and a life settlement broker. All right. And a life, and what we're a life settlement provider. And what that means is we have access to lots and lots of funds. Like money sources, like huge private equity firms, like pension plans. And so what we do is we have relationships with, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, depending upon the case, of all these funds that bid for these policies. Believe it or not, it is a very, very sought after asset, because it's an asset. If you think about it, it's an asset uncorrelated to the market. And so what they do is they take these policies and they put them all together in a portfolio. And then private equity firms, like I said, pension firms and others, they buy this as part of their portfolio. And so the main reason why you want to go with Abacus is we have access to all those funds. But two, we also are one of the few, if not the only firm that has an exclusive arrangement with one of the largest, if not the largest, private equity firm as well. So we have access to money that, and so what we do is we pit the funds against each other, and they make bids based on, you know, what they're seeing as far as life expectancy and the policies we present. So absolutely, that's a great question. You also want to look at the fact, like these commercials, they're really encouraging the client to go direct to them, and they're leaving the advisor out, Elliot. They're leaving you and other financial advisors out. I think it's important that you're the one as an advisor taking your client to the market and standing next to them and being, you know, a part of that process. Because a lot of the times, if it's client direct, these providers can take advantage of the client because the client's not savvy, and they can just throw out a number that the client would not know otherwise would exist. Whereas with us, that's never going to happen.
Now, Eric, what's really interesting is I hear conversation all the time about how did Warren Buffett make his money, Berkshire Hathaway, and people don't realize, and they made money lots of ways. I mean, these people are brilliant, but he did it through this exact way of making money, by buying bought companies that bought life insurance policies over the years and made a fortune just doing that. It wasn't just picking out companies that are public and being at the right time at the right place, but, you know, these are cash cows because people die and they leave big settlements and they don't need them anymore. They don't want to pay for them anymore. And that's exactly the niche that we've been talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Can I just also interrupt? There is there's a form of settlement that I didn't mention. And what we call it a hybrid, all right, or retained death benefit, or RDB. And this is a scenario where you have a client that still wants to leave a death benefit, right? Let's say they've got a $5 million policy. They still want to leave a little bit of a death benefit to their heirs, but they also want to cash out and not have to pay the premiums anymore. So what we do with that is it's called a retained death benefit. And we'll end up buying the policy like we've been talking about, but instead of giving them all cash offer, we'll retain some of the death benefits. So their beneficiary, let's say it's a church or a charity or their kids or a trust, whatever it is, they can retain a certain amount of that death benefit. And then we can also give them cash. So it serves, it's a really great a solution depending upon the scenarios that are going on. I met with it was a really unfortunate scenario with a financial advisor actually who owned 4 policies on himself, right? So he sold himself 4 policies. His beneficiaries is his spouse, but what he did ended up, he sold one policy to get cash to get his affairs in order, but he left the other policies in force so that it would pass, to his heir. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways we can skin this cat, to make sure it's working, you know, as a solution for your clients, because every client's different, right? Every client's got a different need.
Great. That's a good point. Well, this has been great, Eric. I want to thank you. You know, it's a difficult subject. It's a difficult conversation to have. Do we need the insurance? And now, because of the information that you've disseminated, you've now got people now have an option that they could talk to us about to bring somebody in like yourself to help out and get a quote and realize that there's a fair way to deal with their life insurance and not just take the first quote and not just tear up your policy and throw it in the garbage and say, I'm not paying for it anymore. And now that's the insurance company gets to keep all that premium and basically all that cash value and instead of them reaping the rewards.
No, it's true. The insurance carriers don't like us that much if you think about it, because you know they priced into the policy a lapse rate. And that lapse rate, they know that the public, for term insurance, for example, I don't know if you know this, but in term insurance, less than 2% of the death benefit pays. And the insurance carriers know that, right? So they price that into the product. So when we keep these things enforced for the life, you know, so they're not super, you know, happy about that. Another thing, let me leave you with this, Elliot. If you want to do this, Abacus, we have a pretty nifty tool for you as a financial advisor. It's a calculator that your clients could go onto your website, plug in their little, you know, really five little things, you know, they're a male, female, death benefit amount, type of policy, boom. And then it'll come out and give them an idea of what their policy might sell for. And so I can get you more information on that if you wanted to have that as a resource for your clients. But it's been a really great tool for us just because it's a super simple way to kind of get an idea of whether or not your policy pays, you know, or has a value, I should say.
Eric, that's great. Thank you. The answer to that, of course, is yes.
Great.
So we've been talking with Eric Carpenter on life settlements and selling your life insurance policy. It's great. We really appreciate your time. Eric, thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you.
And everybody knows how to reach me, Elliot, ELLIOT, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. Have a great day.